Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And today is a Children's Corner show. My very special guest is Dr. Dan Peters. He is co-founder of Parent Footprint, helping parents create and achieve parenting goals. Parent Footprint has a mission to help all parents create their own parenting goals and then achieve them. How? By inspiring parents to be present, to parent with purpose, and to avoid any mistakes our own parents made when parenting us. The single most important predictor of how we parent is how we were parented as a child. Parent Footprint Awareness Training is the first generation of truly interactive, web-based training that is designed to stimulate and experience the experience of sitting down with a trained professional to examine our parenting beliefs. By becoming more aware, we can create our own vision of successful parenting and then choose the footprints we want to pass on to our children and grandchildren. Dr. Dan is also author of Make Your Worrier a Warrior and its companion From Worrier to Warrior, and have been written to guide parents and children through their daily worries and fears. Together, these books provide easy-to-follow, practical strategies. Parents will learn simple steps to help their children of all ages fight and overcome their worries and fears. Dr. Dan Peters is a psychologist, author, and co-founder of Parent Footprint. And for more than 20 years, Dr. Dan has been passionate about helping parents to parent their children with purpose and intention in order to guide them in reaching their potential while their children are also reaching their own. You can find out more about the Parent Footprint program by visiting www.parentfootprint.com. And you can also find out more about Dr. Dan by visiting his website, drdanpeters.com. And I do have a direct link to both websites in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Dan to the show. Good day, sir. Hello, Dr. Dan.
Hi there. Yes,
hi there.
Hi there. Thanks for that wonderful long introduction there.
Yeah, it was a bit lengthy, but that's okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure people knew exactly who you were or who you are.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm looking forward to this. I really enjoy being able to provide our listeners with some parenting skills and tips and some of the greatest, most innovative things that are coming about. So to start with, let's start with Parent Footprint. You're co-founder of that new site and program. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about what it is and how it was you were inspired to get this program going?
Absolutely. Something I'm very passionate about. So Parent Footprint came about when I met my business partner, who is a technologist, and me being a psychologist, we found that we had a passion for bringing the hard work of being a parent to the fore for parents that don't have time to go to classes, to go to counseling, to read all the wonderful parenting books that are out there. But most of us are working so hard in our lives just trying to keep up, and most of us parents are also wanting to be the best parents possible and worrying about our kids and worrying about their future, and it's just hard being a parent. It's just a challenge these days, and we wanted to find a way for the modern parent to have access to easy-to-use and meaningful information that they could take with them in their daily life so they could really learn and become aware of what do they want for their kids. And deciding what they want for their kids, how do they back out how they parent with purpose and intention in order for them to discover what we call their vision of successful parenting. And in doing that, in order for us to figure out what we want for our kids, we actually have to also focus on ourselves as parents, because so many of us these days are looking for answers outside of ourselves and tutors and coaches and counselors, when one of the core features of being a aware parent and a healthy parent who is going to raise a healthy child is to be healthy and aware in our own lives, because our kids are watching us, right? Our kids are watching us work. Our kids are watching us with our partners. Our kids are watching where we're engaged or not engaged in life, whether we're happy or whether we're not happy. And we often want for our kids something that we don't have ourselves. And so the whole idea behind parent footprint, and imagine the image of a footprint on the beach, is that we need to be aware of the footprints that we are leaving on our kids, because we all have had footprints that were placed on us by our parents. They could be positive footprints. They could be neutral footprints. For a lot of people, they could be some negative footprints. So if we're aware that we are leaving footprints on our kids, and we are willing to discover and inquire about the footprints that were left on us, we can figure out what our own parenting beliefs are that drive our behavior. So in a nutshell, with trying to get useful, interactive, and meaningful information to parents in a modern, state-of-the-art, technological way, we created Parent Footprint and Parent Footprint Awareness Training to simulate sitting down with a trained professional as a guide to take you through steps to become aware of where you came from and where you want to go, so you and your child can have a healthy and meaningful life.
Yeah. When you say simulate sitting down, it's through videos that the people will get that awareness training?
Yes. So the awareness, the Parent Footprint Awareness Training, is comprised of 7 video modules in the first part, and you get a short three to five minute video where there is a subject. The first subject of the first video is you. It's starting with you. And then I ask through the video a question. And then the person participating in the course will answer the question, and based on their answer, they get an individualized video response based on their answer to individualize it to where they are right now. And then once they get through the first leg of the course in these 7 video modules plus a video response, there's a second part of the course where they then get to write down and process the different awarenesses that they've had in different aspects of their life from going through the course and their goals for themselves and their child. And then the third part of the course is comprised of also about 5-minute videos on subject matter that I use every day in my work over the years with parents, and just find to be really helpful about teaching with coping and anxiety, and helping your child with a growth-oriented mindset, and how to problem solve with the child. But the first part of what you had mentioned is the simulation is getting an individualized video response based on what you're feeling and thinking in that moment.
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful. I love that interactive aspect. Now, since in many situations, there's two parents involved, so this would allow each parent to individually go through and answer and gain an understanding about their beliefs, which may differ from their partner. Correct.
Correct. So it's set up for a person to do it individually. However, it certainly can be done in tandem. What we found is that folks who have taken it have said, "I can't wait for my spouse to do this too." because it brings up so many important issues and awarenesses. And what I always say is, if we can become aware of where some of the footprints that were placed on us and some of the beliefs we have, and that how that leads to our parenting behavior, just the awareness is 50% of, or more, of changing the game and going in the desired direction. Because the best of us yell too much. The best of us get frustrated too easily. The best of us overreact or too quickly react. Like, that's what's so hard, you know, just about being human, and I think, and being a parent.
Yeah, that's good. You know, because quite often, you know, in situations when you have two parents, I mean, obviously you each come from different backgrounds and then would have obviously a different kind of footprint and you know, belief structure. And it seems to me that, you know, individually going through that would be able to, the couple would be able then to identify, you know, but areas where there's disagreement, and that would allow them to be able to discuss and maybe come to some kind of understanding of, you know, a way of parenting that really benefits the child most.
You know, you're spot on. You're spot on. And that couples that are willing to go through that process, it's so helpful. You know, I'll give you an example. I know someone who took the training who said, "Oh my gosh, I just realized why when my kids were young that I was so quick to react to them and try to make the problem better right when they started to have a meltdown." And I finally realized why is that my father used to have outbursts at any time that scared me. I never knew when he would lose his temper. And I now realize that I was responding to my own kids immediately because I was afraid of that old response that I wasn't even aware of that was playing out with my kids.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things when I was kind of going through and, you know, in preparing, you know, for today's show. I went through and started thinking about my footprint, the footprint that was my parents had on me. And you know, I think it's just so funny. Sometimes, you know, parents will, you know, have the awareness. Oh my God, this is why, you know, my parent did this. This is why, you know, in that example, this is why I reacted that way. And then, you know, quite often you'll have people who will say, well, when I'm a parent, I'm not going to be like my mother or my father, you know. And then, you know, of course, sometimes we'll hear that, oh, my God, that's my father speaking, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Yeah. So it's just, to me, it's just, you know, amazing that, you know, and again, I agree with you, you know, awareness is really where it needs to start, but it's just, I think, you know, the idea of, you know, the footprint that we receive, you know, can be passed on, you know, if it goes unexamined, you know, and that's one of those things where sometimes you see there'll be generation after generation where there might be some kind of dysfunction that passes. I mean, you know, happiness too, but I mean, in many cases though, there's also a dysfunction, you know, kind of a parent-child interaction that gets passed on.
Right, and, you know, the inspirational point that you're making is there is always an opportunity to stop an unhealthy footprint that's being passed on. Just because something was done to us that was not healthy or that we don't like, even if we notice that we're going have engaged in the same pattern with our own kids, it is never, you can make a decision to stop it. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but just having the awareness of wanting to make the change and then working on it and being purposeful, you can turn the ship.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I do want to let listeners know that if you have any questions for Dr. Dan, you can call in at 619-789-4359 and we'll take your calls live if you have any. So, okay, you know, I kind of would like to explore that a little bit more about the never too late So let's say, you know, someone goes through the process and they have that sudden realization or that awareness that pops up and is like, oh, this is what I've been doing. This is what I really, you know, don't want to imprint on my child. But they've been doing it for years, you know. So once someone, a parent, gets this awareness or awakening, then what is the best process? You know, because the child's obviously been affected for a while. So what's the best process to change that, you know, without confusing the child?
So that's a great question. I think there's a few different ways to do that, and also there's sort of a decision tree behind it. So, for example, let's say that I am a yeller, and I was always yelled at, and that's what you do when your kids don't act the way you want, you yell. You can make, first, becoming aware that you are a yeller as opposed to, well, that's just the way it is. That's the first awareness. To make a decision that I want to stop yelling, that's the second step. And then the third step is what am I going to do to stop yelling? Well, one thing is I could try to be really conscious about not yelling. Another thing is that I can maybe do some deep breathing and count to 10 backwards before I react to my child. I can also maybe take a mindfulness-based class and learn to regulate myself. I can go to an anger management class if I think that that's what's going on. I can find some specific information on the internet or a book about it. And if you go through the steps and you're really intentional and you're not meeting your goal, you know, the last step is you can go then to a trained, licensed professional and have a few sit down or long, you know, whatever you need, because you've tried everything and it's not working on your own. You know, and that's also the reason why we created this course is, you know, therapy benefits a lot of people, but a lot of people can't get to therapy or can't afford therapy. And not everyone needs therapy to change. So when you're looking at what is a way to, you know, in a modern way, get information online in an interactive way, and if that's enough, then that's awesome. But a lot of us need a little more after that and a little more time. So it's sort of being intentional, trying something, coming at it in three or four different angles, and then getting some outside help if you still are not meeting your goal.
Yeah. Now, in a case like that, let's say the yelling, you know, if your child is accustomed to you yelling, or would you ever, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, age specific, but would you ever engage your child to say, listen, you know, my dad was a yeller, you know, and this is how it made me feel. I don't want to be a yeller. I have been, you know, I'm going to, you know, do certain things to, you know, to change that, you know, and also if I should flip and start yelling, just let me know. Is that something, you know, with probably the older children?
No, that's beautiful. What you just said is beautiful. Like that, so you could change the delivery based on age, you know, maybe some of the verbiage and how much detail or less detail, but absolutely, because the modern parenting technology, or I want to say like the modern parenting concepts and stance is about treating our kids with respect and showing love and respect in order to receive it and for them to be able to experience it and show it. So the more we are just relying on old school punishment, you know, do as I say, you know, children should be seen, not heard, I'm in charge, that stuff doesn't create solid, it doesn't create a solid, confident person. It might create someone who's compliant, but it doesn't mean that they're going to feel that great about themselves inside. So what you just modeled is the most respectful and honest way to model for a child. Not only are you aware of the footprint that you don't want to pass on, you're telling a little bit about family history and how you're going to work really hard to change it, and that you would like his help. And what a lot of people think in that is, oh, you're giving away your power. And it's like, when did parenting become about power?
Yeah.
It's about human relationship. And anyways, I that was so well said.
Okay. Well, I have found that, whenever, I've seen so many children, in different styles of parenting, it seems that the most intelligent, inventive, creative children that I've encountered, are parents who do, provide that respect, that understanding that yes, they're children, but that doesn't mean, that you can't, try and speak to them in a way that gives them power in a way, makes them feel, that they're their own little person.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And what I find about having a lot of experience with those kind of people too is some of those parents come by it naturally just because it's their philosophy, and they might have been like those children when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And other people find they actually end up not having a choice because these kids that you're describing tend to be so strong-willed and independent thinkers and don't really understand the normal conventions of hierarchy that you have to back into. It's like, wow, it works a lot better when I treat them with respect and give them more say in their life than I ever would have thought I would give someone at their age. And it ends up, though, like you said, having the potential to grow a person who feels respected and feels that they have, say in their life. And then as a result, a lot of that conflict goes away in the parent-child relationship because there's less to conflict about.
Yeah, that's great. Well, listen, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break. And again, I do invite listeners, if you want to call in with any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And then when we come back, Dr. Dan, I want to talk a little bit. In your training program, you indicate that you guide parents to creating their own vision of successful parenting. So I'd like to kind of talk a little bit more about that vision and what are the components that make it up, okay?
Great.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Dr. Dan Peters. and we're talking about the new website that he is co-founder of and just launched. It's called Parent Footprint, helping parents create and achieve parenting goals. And again, you can find out more about that program by visiting the website, www.parentfootprint.com. And again, you can find out more about Dr. Dan by visiting his website, drdanpeters.com. And again, I do have a direct link to both of those websites in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back. Dr. Dan?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, you know, part of the Parent Footprint program, a little tongue twister there, is for helping parents create their own vision of successful parenting. So can you talk a little bit about that and what are maybe some of the components that, that make up this kind of vision?
Sure. So the first thing to think about this vision is that it's different for everyone. And when we parent, most of us parent just by the way we were parented or in reaction to the way we were parented. And it's often fairly unconscious. So most of us want our kids to be, quote, successful, quote, to have a good life. Those are really general concepts. And if we just put it out there without thinking how we're going to get there and what is really important to us, it's hard to get there in the way that we want. And we might take more of a circuitous road, or we actually might not be engaging in behaviors that would actually be help us achieve our goal with our kids. So the idea of a vision of successful parenting and how the program works, it's to help people as they work through the different video modules, we get to a place where we're focusing on what are your parenting beliefs about what's important. You know, is it important for your child to be highly intellectual? Is it important for your child to be really good with people? Is it important that your child take risks and see the world? Do you want your child to be a helper of people? All these different things go into a vision of what successful parenting is for you. And once you can identify through the process of taking the training about what is important to you and identify some steps by which you can get there, you can start making a plan about how do I parent in the moment, which we call purposeful parenting, in order to achieve my goal, which is based on my vision of successful parent for what I want or what I consider success for myself as a parent and for what I want for my child's future. So when we really break it down, we're starting with the person of who you are as a parent right now, where you are in your life, what have been your prior experiences that lead to how you view the world, how you view people, and how you parent. What do you want to keep? What do you want to change? What is your goal and vision of successful parenting? And then how are you going to get there now by parenting purposefully, given the tools that we're teaching throughout the training, in order to reach your personal vision of successful parenting, which might be different than your next-door neighbor's?
Okay, I got that. Now, that leads me to a couple of questions. First of all, when you determine what you feel is successful, you know, what successful parenting is, how do you, how can you be conscious of trying to, you know how some parents kind of try to live through their children, you know,
yep.
So how do you prevent, you know, that from happening, that you impose what you feel like successful in sports, you know, but what if you have a child who's just not a sports guy, you know, so how do you kind of work with that?
That's a great question. So if you're – so in all of this, in all of the training, I guess what I'm not saying is also help – there are lots of questions, and we call self-reflection questions, to help you not only get in touch with who you are and what you care about as a parent – but who your child is and what who they are. So we have to keep both of these things in mind. So let's say my vision of successful parenting is I want my child to be passionate about something and engaged. Well, let's say that I was really passionate about baseball. So, and my child shows some baseball talent early on.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be self-reflective whether that push for baseball is ours or theirs. And when they start to say, you know what, I don't want to play baseball anymore. I don't like it. I've decided that I really want to do archery. So we have to separate what's the difference between ours and theirs. Because, gosh, I loved baseball. I don't want it to end. My son's really good, and I think that he could really learn a lot to be on a team, and I want him to play in high school. Or, well, no, wait, my goal is that I want him to be passionate about something and engaged in life. So don't I need or do I need to support this decision of his to do archery, perhaps, or skateboarding, instead because the goal is engagement, not a specific thing that's important to me. But these are really,
right.
You know, I don't want to talk about it like it's simple. Like this is having that awareness is what is the key point
right.
of trying to sort it out.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's great. And I'm glad that we kind of got to the point of recognizing part of the program is identifying and becoming, you know, aware of the child's tendencies in a way or inclinations. And it seems like the basis of what the vision of successful parenting is really to focus on the values maybe that you want to instill in your child, not necessarily how the specific circumstances in which they play out, but simply the values in the strength of those values.
Absolutely. And the other thing that you just triggered for me is that in one of the videos in part three is actually a video called Focus on Strengths. And it talks about how it's so important for us to see what our child likes, what they're good at. And all too often in our current culture, we're always trying to fix the weaknesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like this pathology problem focused. Well, I know you're really good at this, but you know, you're a little behind in this, so we got to focus on getting this up. And the way we all are in the real world is we all go towards our strengths and we all try to get
right.
around our weaknesses. So, yes.
Okay, well, good. Well, great. That sounds great. Now, one, you know, you've obviously been doing this for a very long time, for more than 20 years. So, are there any favorite parenting tools that you like to, you know, pass on to parents? I mean, just maybe one or two that the listeners can get a good idea that they can implement?
I do. I absolutely do. And these are both in the training because actually in the last part, as you might have seen, it's called Dr. Dan's Favorite Tools. So two of the one, I'm going to pick two that I use in my personal life and use daily in my work with parents. So the first one is based on one of the authors that have inspired our work and has inspired my work is Dr. Ross Green. And he wrote this book called The Explosive Child. And his brand new book, which is sitting in front of me, is this beautiful book called Raising Human Beings, Creating a Collaborative Partnership with Your Child. So he started with another psychologist years ago the idea of collaborative parenting and, or excuse me, collaborative problem solving. And he talked a lot about that in The Explosive Child, which is a wonderful book, and he expands on it in his newest book. But the whole idea is, you know, of collaborative problem solving is a lot. It's kind of like the example that you gave about telling the child about what you're working on, but it's based on a joint problem. So if you have a child, actually, I'm going to give you a personal example. When I was with my son, when I used this and it worked, he was about 10 at the time. He was doing really into Minecraft on the computer, and it was just about the time that he started to stay up on the weekends a little later than my wife and I when we wanted to go to bed. And we knew that if, you know, it was like 9 o'clock or 9:30 one night, and he's Minecrafting out, and we're like, all right, bud, time to go to bed. He's like, why? I said, well, because mom and I are going to bed. He's like, but it's the weekend. Just because you're going to bed, why do I have to go to bed? I said, well, the reason we got to do this is because I know you, and if we don't get you off, I'm going to wake up at midnight, and you're still going to be on because you lose track of time. And he said, how about I prove to you that I'll get off at a certain time? And I said, well, so he actually started to engage in collaboration. Now, the easier parent thing for me to do would be just like, you know, no, 15 more minutes, good night.
Right.
But what happened is I started saying, you know what, let's try this. And I said, you know what? He said, can I stay up till 10:30? And I said, you know what? I would love for you to do that. And if you do that, I would let you do the same thing tomorrow night. That would be awesome. So, and it actually worked. And it was the first time that he actually got off on time because I think he had some, you know, something in the game. But so it's the whole
right.
idea, and I give another example with cell phone use and stuff. It's like, how do you – like, we don't tap the resource in our kids to not only engage their brain in the problem solving, but also teach them how to problem solve so they feel like they're part of the decision instead of us telling them what to do. So it's very, very effective. Collaborative problem solving. Do you want me to go on to the next one, or do you?
Go ahead and do another one, please. Yeah.
Okay. So the other one comes from another one of the authors that's inspired us, and that I was fortunate enough to do a podcast with through Parent Footprint. It's called No Drama Discipline, and it's by Tina Bryson and Dr. Daniel Siegel, and they are wonderful. Dan Siegel is considered like the foremost brain researcher and brain translator, has a number of bestsellers, and they've written two parenting books together. The first one is The Whole Brain Child, and the one I'm referring to is No Drama Discipline, and it's based on understanding how your children's brains are wired, and based on that understanding, to parent in a way which is consistent with how they actually work as human beings. So, for example, traditional parenting, when we're upset, is to stand over kids, maybe get loud, and maybe point at them with an unhappy look on our face. That triggers our kids' amygdala fear center. When you trigger the fear center, several things happen. You get a fight-or-flight response. You also have very little engagement of their frontal lobe, which means that they're actually going to internalize the lesson that you're trying to teach them in this parenting moment. So what they talk about, and I'm just going to get to the sort of the meat of this that was so helpful, and if ever the listeners want to see this, hear this on the podcast that where Tina was my guest, she explained this beautifully, is as parents, we need to ask ourselves, is our child in a reactive brain situation or a receptive brain situation? So many of us try to parent when they're having a meltdown or upset, and it's just a disaster. So the first thing is to see, are they in a reactive or receptive state? And then to ask ourselves, based on our brain functioning, are we in a reactive or a teaching state? And just by thinking about what is our emotional frame, how much control do we have of ourselves? And can my child learn from me right now, or will they just react? It's so profound in deciding how to, again, parent with purpose in the moment, because if your child's upset, what we got to focus on is soothing in a number of different ways at work before you can even deliver a message. And then how important is it for us to think about, okay, if I'm mad, I am probably not going to be in the best decision for the best place to have the outcome that I want for how I want to parent my child. And I'm gonna tag this actually into this vision of successful parenting, because what's really important in these moments is, do I want my child to finish their homework quickly? Do I want my child to learn to persevere in the face of adversity? Or do I want to have a good connecting moment with my child during this point? Those are all three different goals in the exact same situation.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful way of really kind of examining, you know, difficult situations, you know, and trying to come up with the best result, the most successful result. Now, if people wanted to hear either, you know, any of these, the podcasts, where would they go to?
Yeah, just go
to
the website that you said, www.parentfootprint.com, and there are three of the podcasts are on the homepage, and then there is a separate blog, we have blogs too, but there's a separate podcast page that has all of them. Tina's, I believe, right now is on the homepage.
Great, great. That's perfect. And we only have about 4 minutes left here. So I did want to mention, though, the book, Make Your Worrier a Warrior and His Companion. You know, it seems that, in today's society, it just seems that children have so much more to worry about. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's just, you know, that it's more out there, that we see it, you know, that, through, you know, this kind of instant communication, that it's just more visible. But it just seems that, you know, worry, you know, is on the increase.
I agree from my experience, and I also the statistics, unfortunately, agree with you too. And I think we have a world where we have too much information coming at us. And not only do we have too much, we have information that is very anxiety-provoking and fear-based, and it doesn't matter. There doesn't have to be truth to it. It's sort of like an extreme example is when the Twin Towers fell.
Mm-hmm.
The images were going on the news nonstop, understandably so. What people didn't realize was that kids watching it over and over were thinking it was happening over and over and over again, and many developed post-traumatic stress disorder. That's an extreme example of all of the images that we're seeing with, you know, some of the concerns about, you know, we have an election coming up, and we have, you know, we have terrorism, and we have what's happening
school
now
shooting.
Is school shootings. School shootings. You know what? It's not – so there are, fortunately, I think, more of them than in the past. However, when they were, we didn't all know about them all the time, and we didn't know all the details. So one of the things that I recommend is that we really be mindful of what news we watch, what, depending on the age of the kid, what parents talk about in front of the kids. And I actually think we need to shield kids from what I'm going to say, this reality, and some of it isn't totally reality-based, but it's all very scary. And I think more than ever these days, we have to be mindful of that because there's a lot of stuff to worry about these days.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, and I think, you know, being able to, you know, shift, help children shift, you know, from worry, you know, to being more empowered is just so important. You know, I grew up with a mother who was a worrier, and it's taken me decades to get over that. You know, and every now and then it pops up. It's like, what am I worrying about this for? You know, so. But anyway, yeah. Well, Dr. Dan, this has really been a really fun chance to speak with you and talk about parenting, successful parenting, and I wish you great success with Parent Footprint. I think it's a great idea, especially the interactive aspect. It's truly what parents need, and you know, in these times when they don't have a whole lot of you know, time to be able to put attention to what they really want.
Exactly. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity and for your support. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Dr. Dan Peters, and we've been talking about his recently released or co-founding of the website Parent Footprint and the program, Parent Footprint Awareness Training. Again, you can find out more by visiting the website, www.parentfootprint.com. And again, as you mentioned, there are several other podcasts there that you can go ahead and listen to that would be very helpful. And again, you can find out more about Dr. Dan himself by visiting the website, drdanpeters.com, and there's a blog and so much more information there as well. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.